Well, now, in 1956, as a young man, 15 years old, I remember standing up in a chair in my home in Killarney and listening to the crackling voice of the English commentator coming from Melbourne, describing in ecstatic tones, Delaney, the Irishman, is going to win forever. It was the 1500 metres final in Melbourne, and later on in my time, when I travelled to Melbourne with the Kerry team, I knelt down in the same position as what Ronnie Delaney did. I am absolutely thrilled to be talking tonight. Ronnie Delaney, thanks and welcome to Radio Kerry.
Well, it's my pleasure. I think the English commentator was feigning ecstasy. I think he was probably very disappointed because I beat his English compatriots.
Ronnie, of course, you've been asked hundreds and thousands of times. You always came from the back. You ran from the back. Could you bring us, for Radio Kerry listeners, through that memorable race?
Well, that'd be take me 3 minutes, 41.2 seconds. But very briefly, I always had the, as you kindly remember, the ability to make one tactical and decisive move, a bit like Kerry in the last 5 minutes. And I did that on the day the race unfolded. I was in a good position going down the back straight, and I bided my time. I didn't let the others get too far ahead of me. Then I made that decisive move, ran by Landy, ran by Ritzenheim, ran by Houston. Suddenly I found myself in the lead, and when you get in the lead, no one's going to pass you. The only thing to pass you is an express train. So I ran happily through the tape, my arms thrown wide in absolute exultation. It was a great honour and a great privilege for me to win for my country Ireland and to live up to the faith that my parents had in me, a few other people had in me, like my coaches, my mentors, and of course the people of Ireland, who have always been enormous supporters of me athletically, and indeed since I gave up athletics.
And Ronnie, when you had passed the tape, you don't see it happening now, you threw yourself down the ground and you blessed yourself. Now, that, what prompted you to do that?
I still think an awful lot of athletes do have this inner faith, and they do have this accreditation, if you like, that they get the gift from a greater being. And my instinct at the greatest moment in my life was to say a prayer of thanksgiving. My dear friend John Landy, who won the bronze medal, he thought I was exhausted and sort of, even though I was on my knees, he thought I had collapsed to my knees. But when I looked up at him with my hands clasped in prayer, a grin of absolute joy on my face, he knew I wasn't collapsed, and I think he had to go away. Well, that's a beautiful picture. It's a picture in my mind. And the extraordinary thing about sport in that era is that we still remain such great, great friends. John Landy and I saw each other last June. I'll see him at the Olympic Games in Sydney, and I've seen him. My daughter stayed in his home, and that's the beauty of sport in those days, which I hope some of the contemporary athletes can find 40 years after sport, as I am doing.
Ronnie, growing up, did you ever in your wildest dreams visualize that you'd win a gold medal for Ireland in the Olympics?
Yes, well, it depends when you grow up. I mean, I certainly began to visualize the dream when I was about 19 years of age, because at that stage I was a world-class athlete. At 20, I was the sixth fastest man in the world over the mile, because I was only the sixth man to break the 4-minute mile. And then you begin to believe. But even shortly before that, you would have set yourself the goal, the ambition of winning a gold medal. So you have to not alone dream, but you have to plan. And then you have to courage to execute your plan. So I did all those things, and while you were 15 years of age, and it sounds very young, I was only 21 when I won the Olympics, so I feel like I was a child genius too.
And of course, Ireland in the 50s, Ronnie, we hadn't the Celtic Tiger, and there was a lot of poverty and immigration and everything, but your win, did you find, I found myself growing up as a young man and later on in life, that Ronnie Delaney stood for something?
Yes, that era was very depressed, and I was part of that era, leaving on the 23rd of September from Shannon in 1954, going on an adventure, an Olympic odyssey, that I didn't know whether I would be back to Ireland in the next 2 years, in the next 5 years. It was that sort of adventure for me, and it wasn't that we were so poor or anything, it's that we didn't have that much hope. It was earlier than Whittaker and Lamass and economic planning. And my race, in effect, to put it into context, gave the Irish people an enormous lift. It said, in a way, and I say this modestly, it said, we can beat the world. And I think there was the beginning of something then, because we were a young state and republic in 48, and suddenly here's an Irishman takes on the world and beats them. And it made that very emphatic statement, yes, we, Ireland, can beat the world.
And Ronnie, I won't be delaying because the T-shirt will be alive and shot. But the great
never do that.
The great names that you opposed in that time.
Yes, they were wonderful names. I mean, the English ones were particularly exciting. You had people like Hewson, you had people like Gordon Pirie, you had the marvellous Derek Ibbotson, a colourful character, North of England person, who incidentally held the world record. There was, at other distances, there was the Chataways, slightly before me, the Bannisters. Bannister, the first man to run a 4-minute mile. He ran in Dublin. He was slightly ahead of me. I didn't actually run against him. But these were the people of my era, and the way the people who inspired me would have been the Bannisters, the Chataways, the Nurmies, the Zatopeks, all wonderful names from the past of sport.
But Ronnie, you won away more, of course, than your gold medal, because you just weren't a one-day wonder.
No, I had a 5-year, and thank you for mentioning it, Rishi, because I don't think it's generally known. I ran for 5 years in America without losing a race indoors, and in the process I broke the world record 3 times. It was a glorious period for me of 40 races without defeat. I hope I don't sound immodest saying, but that's factual. I never lost from 1955 to 1959, but it was virtually unknown then. There was no television. The Irish newspapers gave me maybe one inch of, in a column, not in 10 columns, it was just one column. Delaney wins again. But in America it was big news. It was big news every weekend, whether it was Madison Square Garden in New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Boston, all the wonderful Cleveland, all the wonderful places I ran in, as well as, of course, Philadelphia.
And Ronnie, two final questions. You played a bit of Gaelic football in your day, stay tell me.
I did, not with great distinction. I always had a great sense of self-appreciation. I realised I wasn't good enough to get on even a Dublin team, so I said, never mind the Kerry team. So I said, now I'll find another way to exercise myself. But I did play Gaelic football, particularly in O'Connell schools. My brother Joe was much more competent at the sport than I was, and he was also a reasonably good hurler. There's a great tradition in O'Connell schools.
And you, of course, evidently a great fan of Paddy O'Shea's.
Yes, well, Paddy, I go back a long while. I think I was opening something in Ballyferrit one time, and Paddy, I asked him how I would say it's my pleasure to be here, and I thought it was it's more an honour than sure. And he said, no, he said, it's Currenshay Oh Zarum Vehansha, which is nice. It puts joy on me to be here. And of course it puts joy on me every time I meet my friend in sport, my peer Paddy O'Shea, and of course when I go to Kerry, one of my favourite places in Ireland.
And finally, Ronnie, your message to young Kerry athletes, and we have great athletes in Kerry in all the various sports, not just Gaelic football, but we have some wonderful people down there. What would your message be to athletes in the kingdom?
I think athletes in the widest sense, in running, emulate Tom O'Riordan, a very good friend of mine. In football, emulate the great Kerry teams. In rowing, the great history you had in rowing, and Smeen, the people of Smeen who produced so many great rowers. There's a wonderful tradition of sport. Look back on that tradition, and of course apply yourself, set your goals and go for it. Don't be afraid to go for it.
Ronnie Delaney, thanks for talking to Radio Kerry, but in particular I must say thanks for talking to me, because one of my dreams in life has been achieved. It's been a pleasure talking.
Thank you, Rishi, my pleasure indeed.